want to welcome all you guys to the teacher training. For those of you guys who are listening online, hope today's makes sense. We're going to be doing a lot of group work together in this class. So if you have questions about things you're hearing and you don't understand, then we will need to send you some, maybe some artwork of the whiteboard as we go through today's teaching. So we're going to dive right in. We had homework last time. I said last week. Last time, what was our homework and how did it go? Hook, book, look at it. It was awful? Oh, goodness. Well, it's harder than you thought, huh? Why was that?
Because I didn't know which way.
Better late than never.
Because it seemed obvious, but it's not always obvious for you.
That's right. James. Okay.
Because in my situation.
So much came on your heart that you wanted to share? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was hard for me to be like, okay, stay in your lane, Liz.
Right. So there are different scenarios here we're talking about. When pastor wants me to preach or Pastor Stephen to preach on a Sunday, we're given a topic and we have one shot to say everything God needs them to say over that, and it needs to be within a certain time frame where we hear about it. no pressure. But that's unique in that we know we've got to get everything on that topic that God wants them to know and do in that moment in that 30 to 40 minutes. That's a challenge. But a lot of us are not going to be in that scenario. A lot of us are going to be teaching a grow track, or we're going to be teaching a group, leading a group, or you know what I'm saying? There's more of a, you have more than one chance to say everything you want to say. Pastor Jeremy, when he became our pastor, got some really good advice from someone. I can't remember who it was, but it was really good. I think it was actually his dad who said, Pastor Jeremy was facing that same struggle, Liz, where he had so much he wanted to say that it was just like fire hydrant of information all the time. It was his old pastor. And so what he said, though, was, Pastor Jeremy, you're going to be there a while. You've got all year to communicate. You have 52 opportunities this year to communicate things to your people. Basically, pace yourself. Pace yourself. Don't give them everything at once. Pace yourself. And I think that's really good. I think of you with the young adults, pacing yourself. And we're going to get into more of how to do that strategically and intentionally so that you make sure when they're done with you that semester, they did receive everything you know God needed them to receive over the course of time. Okay? So here's what I want to do today. Good feedback. I want to go ahead. I had several of you say, man, it would be really great if you could just show me how you do this. If you could just show me how you do it, I feel like I'd see it better. I'd maybe understand it a little easier. So I'm going to show you the one I did for Encounter. We kicked off Encounter last Sunday night, and I'm going to show you the process I went through with my hook, book, look, and took for the intro, my segment of Encounter. Sound good? All right. Father, we just thank you for our time together. We just ask that your Holy Spirit would be here to teach us and guide us into all truth, even the truth of how to teach and preach your word. I pray your blessing over every person here. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's, first of all, who's my audience in Encounter? Describe them to me, guys.
Broken people.
Some broken.
Desperate.
What's the first question I'm asking, though? Who's my audience? Right, now what are the two main questions we always ask? Yep. And what's the next one? Okay. Whoops. And number two, I'm going to hammer this into you guys until you're sick of hearing it because it's so important to ask and be able to answer that. Did I write that right? Okay. My audience, you said broken. Someone said something else.
Desperate.
Desperate. What else?
I think the Encounter audience is truly a group of audience that just really wants to go deeper.
Okay. Want to go deeper?
That's looking for more.
Breakthrough.
Breakthrough. Okay. All right. Gosh, so many things I want to say here. Such good stuff, you guys. Or they're in denial. They need it all and then denial. Oh, the favorite people. Those are my favorite people to preach to. So what I want to do, yes, that is who I had in mind. And I know, Justin, you went through a lot of this process too. We taught together. We tag teamed it. So we were thinking through our audience. What are they going through? We also had to take into account that it was the first week of Encounter. How do students typically tend to act on the first week of anything? Nervous. Shy. Shell shock. What'd you say? Defiant. Oh, thank you, Gina. Yes. Oh, you will have to win me over. Yes. Like a champ. James. Fantastic. So he's getting into another thing here. This is really good. He's saying gender is a big issue. He's preaching and helping right now. He has his men's group with all men. And then he's in there ministering to men and women. And let me just tell you, that is a different ballgame. Different ballgame. So here's what I want to do. Yes, that was our audience. First night of encounter. Pastor Stephen's teaching in there next week, and he and I were talking through anything you want me to know, he asked me, or I should do, just talking through his sermon or his teaching next week. And I said, there's one thing that's unique about the encounter group, and that's the preaching style I would say you need in there. There has to be some grit, and then the word you and I ended with was attack. There's got to be some attack in your preaching, an encounter. So you've got to do something to win them over, to get them out of denial, to convince them that you deserve their ear, that what you have to say is going to change them in a way that they want to be changed. Lots of compelling, motivational attack-style preaching for encounter. And let me say, the pressure of that is excruciating sometimes because you know the importance of that first night. So what I did was I was in my Bible time, and if it's getting too hot in here, you guys getting too hot? Okay. If it's blowing right on you, okay. If it is, then Courtney can definitely adjust it. So let's look at, turn, this is, let me show you how I did it. Go ahead and turn to John 9. John 9. Not 1 John, just John. All right. And I'm not going to read it because we don't have time for that. What I want to do is, it's the story of the blind man who Jesus made spit with his saliva and made mud. Okay. And to long story short, Jesus does this, but the key thing was, as I read it, was Jesus asked him, the blind man with now blood, with mud in his eyes, Jesus had the audacity to ask the man to go wash himself in the pool of Siloam. And I just thought that was pretty audacious of the Lord. And I began to ask why. Why would you ask a blind man with now mud in his eyes to go walk blindly to a pool and have to wash what you put in his eye out just to be healed? What are some conclusions you come to answer that question? That's it. There you go. That became my word that I knew the Lord was speaking to me for encounter the first night. So do you want it? And if you want it, are you willing to participate in the process? So here's how this went. My hook, which I usually start the encounter semesters just by reminding them of what an encounter is, my goal is to help create in them a desire to want to encounter God, okay? So my hook was twofold. I wanted to make them want to have an encounter. That was my big hook. Now, I did this several ways. Want to have an encounter with God, okay? I did this two ways. The first way I did it was I explained what an encounter was and what it did. What one is and what it did. What it does, excuse me. But let me just say this. I had thought through when I was studying that there might be a need for me to share my testimony real quick. And when I started talking about what an encounter is and what it does, and I could tell that there was still the denial and the tension in the room, I know, and you listen, you need to know, when you get in that moment, one of the best ways to start breaking and chiseling up some jacks on some ice is your personal testimony. Because they need to know right then and there that you're real, that you're raw, and that you understand where they are. It immediately brings defenses down. Do you hear me? So that was strategic, and I'm sharing that with you guys. So when you're leading a group or you're teaching or you're preaching and you feel a tension in the room that you're not cutting through, what testimony or story can you grab out of your pocket and begin to share? Now, thankfully, I had studied, and I was prepared with some of that in my holster, okay? So I immediately began to share my story of my three encounters with God that were transformative. So my personal testimony was my hook. The entire room felt different. as I began to share my testimony, as I began to share what I was like before I was saved. And immediately there was some laughter. You were in there. There was just a different feel. And if I'm wrong, tell me. But it seemed from my vantage point, something shifted in the room and they began to listen and open up. So that was my hook. Okay. Now my book is the scripture right here. And this is what I shared with them. It was John 9, 1 through 7. But specifically, where are my notes? Specifically, here were the verses that stood out to me. This was my look. And these were the ones I shared. Verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7 into two parts. Verse 4 said, we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. We must quickly carry out the tasks. Verse 5 said, Jesus was saying, but while I'm here, I'm the light. Talked about timing. When God is here, when you show up, God is here. You need to act when there's the opportunity. Respond when the window of opportunity is open. Number verse 6, then he spit on the ground, made mud with his saliva, and like put it in his eyes. That's weird. That's just crazy. Up to that point, God's never done that. In other words, God's going to do some things in you that are unique. And you need to not deny him access because it doesn't look the way he's always done it before. The next one was verse 7, go wash yourself. And that was the main theme right here, was their part. So book, this was my book, but here was my look. These were the questions I wanted them to be asking themselves. Number one, am I willing? Am I willing to do my part to participate in the process? That's the look moment. I wanted them to look inwardly. Am I ready for this? Am I willing? And then I did something with a question. I used a rhetorical question, to drill it home. I said, what would have happened if the blind man refused to go wash in the pool of Siloam? And everyone said he wouldn't have been healed. He would have had the experience of Jesus' spit in his eye with no healing. And in the same, now here's what's great, because now they see it. Now you flip it on them. So what will happen if you choose to not go wash in the pool of Siloam? What if you choose to not quickly carry out the task that God's assigned to you? So that was my hook, my book, my look. My took was at the very end of my part, or within my part, they had to list their goals. And next to the goal, obstacles. Excuse my handwriting, I'm in a hurry. Obstacles. So the exercise was for them to determine, what do I already know the enemy's going to use? What do I want God to do? What do I want God to do? What is my blindness? What is my issue? For the blind man, he was blind. But what do you need God to do? Now, what's the obstacle? Well, the obstacle for the blind man was he had to figure out a way to get to the pool. And that's a pretty big obstacle. I'm sure he had help along the way. But we took them through that exercise. Now, I think I just dropped my marker. Sorry. Oh, here it is. So right here, when it came to my book and my look, that's where I had my questions and my points to them. My point number one was, God is going to assign you certain tasks that you must complete throughout encounter. You must quickly carry them out. You see where I got that from verse 4? My point verse 5, but while I'm here, Jesus said, I am the light. My point number 2, timing is everything. My next scripture of when he spits, number 3 was my point. God may do something unique to get you to cooperate with him. Verse number 7, you go wash yourself. My point was, you must cooperate with God and do your part in his healing process. And then I ended with this one, the result. 7b said, so the man went and washed and came back seeing. My point number 5 was, your obedience motivated by faith will bring forth your healing and freedom. Okay? Now, these were my notes. I'm sorry. They're not very glamorous. But I just wanted to show you a hot one that just came off of my heart, out of the oven, so to say, and was fed Sunday to our people. Does this help? Questions. Does it help?
Like,
Like, yep.
Come together. So your hook, what gets their attention, what makes them want to listen to you. Okay? Lots of different hooks you can use. Lots of different ones we talked about last week, and so make sure you look over your notes. Book, what's God saying in his word about this? Like, where's the scripture reference? But look is really more introspective. What questions do they need to be asking themselves? And what's great is how your book and your look together help formulate points. Because when I ask, am I willing, and I combined that with my scriptures, I immediately took what Jesus was saying in the story, and I just flipped it on them. That's a great way of coming up with points, by the way. That's just fantastic. Okay? Any other questions? So then, obviously, took for us, we had a segment, Grow Tracks, we give them homework. We give them homework at the end. Encounter had homework, too, by the way, afterwards. So any other conclusions, any other thoughts on this before we move on to teaching aims today? No. I tend to, and Pastor Stephen and Justin, I mean, I tend to pick one overarching scripture that sums it up. And then, of course, I always try to find one scripture per point. I'm real big in like Bible study. I want them to see that this is not just my opinion. This is God's word. And I add so much weight to that that I value that so much. I will dig for scriptures. That's one of my favorite parts. So Dan's challenge, and he and I talked about this Sunday night. Dan's challenge is he was a preacher for a long time. In fact, he's celebrating 50 years in June with his AG credit, his license. And so, which is phenomenal, by the way. Kudos to you on that. But I told him, I said, your problem is, and he started saying it, and I reworded it. I said, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. And so what I want to say is I'm proud of him for being here because we would love to see how that works here. But what we want to do then is all of us have old ways or ways that we may think that we should have been working on a message. This is not to try to make you do everything like me. This is to equip you with tools that will help you preach as God wants you to preach. But I want you to take the chicken and spit out the bone, but you shouldn't have much bones you're spitting out. Because what I'm giving you is just some bare basics that help you construct more effective messages so people can be transformed, remember, by the word you bring. Okay, let's look at the teaching today. I'm glad that seems like that's helping you guys. I always would love to be open. If you guys feel like you're not getting it, you guys, it helped me, Liz, for you to communicate and say, I'm just still not getting it. It would maybe help me if. And so that helped everyone. So communicate. It's really good. Here's what I do need you to do. You guys had homework. And I need you to turn that in so that I can review it and give you good critiques and comments on your homework. And remember, I'm going to have you guys teach in this class at the end. I want to hear you guys develop a message. So let me look at your homework with Justin's help and let us construct some good constructive criticisms so that you can do that and be successful. That's why you're here. And some of you guys have been doing this for a while, but you're here because we can all get better, whether you're new or been doing this for a long time. All right, let's go ahead and look at the notes today. Choosing the right teaching aim. What is an aim? If I have a bullseye and I have an arrow, what is the purpose of the aim? What is it? Lining it up so that I what? So I hit the bullseye. Okay? So unfortunately, what a lot of leaders and preachers can tend to do is we shoot a lot of arrows and we go draw targets around them. But good preachers, good teachers, good leaders know how to hear from the Lord of what the bullseye is. And now I'm going to go through the work of making sure I know how to aim my arrow correctly to hit the bullseye. That's good preaching. That's good teaching. That takes time. That takes prayer. But it's worth it and necessary. Who remembers what the number one goal of teaching and preaching is? Transformation. Metamorphosis, right? Definitely. So keep that in mind as we go through today's. Colossians 1, 25, 28 to 29 says this. Paul said to the church in Colossae, I have become its, or the church's, servant. Paul said, I've become the church's servant by the commission God gave me to present you. Here's why he was given the commission. To present you guys, you Christians, the word of God in its what? Its fullness. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, Paul said, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Several things I want to bring out as we get into today's teaching. Number one, I want you to notice Paul's goal. His aim was to preach God's word in its what? In its fullness. What does that mean? Completed. Not leaving anything out. Full context. I love to think of it like preaching the word of God in its fullness is doing it like Jesus did it. Jesus knew what the Father wanted to say, to who he wanted to say it, how he wanted to say it, the right illustrations, and the right miracle, the evidence, the evidence that what God is saying is true. Like, in the power to see all of that happen and the anointing. Like, that's the presentation of the Lord of God in its fullness. Now, a miracle doesn't always just mean someone's healed of cancer. The miracle could be someone's hard heart just opened a little bit. Okay? So don't hear what I'm not saying. But preaching the word of God in its fullness, in my opinion, is doing it as Jesus did it with results. Everyone say results. Results. If you're not seeing results, we need to make sure you're in the right spot. We make sure that you're in the right spot doing what God's really called you to do here. All right. Number two, Paul said, I proclaim him. So what do we need to do? Proclaim him to those under our leadership or in our group, in our grow track, an encounter, whatever. And then number three, and I love this, and this takes a lot of energy and time, but to teach with all wisdom, not your opinions. When I said that I love to dig, I just love that. I love that God's word already says it all enough for me. I don't have to go create new. It's all in there. And so, but that has taken countless hours of study. For me, I felt like God told me to go to Bible college because what I was getting in the word, I was hungry for more. And I wanted to get my degree in it. So I did. And I will say this, for those of you who are like fat, hungry, newborn babies that can't seem to get enough in your Bible study, I would challenge you to look into some of those global classes just to stretch you beyond what your own personal Bible study can do for you right now. All right? So teaching with all wisdom requires what from you as well?
Listening.
Learning. Prayer. Time. All of that summed up in lots of time. So what I want to challenge you guys with before you were to get started in teaching and preaching, or if you're doing it already, can I re-challenge you to put in the time necessary to develop the right teaching goal and aim. And that's what we're going to look at today. Number four, strive and aim to be able to present everyone fully mature in Christ. Would that not be incredible? Would that not be absolutely incredible? I mean, is that not what motivates those of us who are in the movement right now to do what we're doing? It's like, is that not what motivates you with prayer right now, Gina? It's like, I want to see everyone become who God's called them to be. Doesn't that fuel you? If that doesn't fuel you, your love for God and your love for his people, you probably aren't called to preach. If you don't have those down, if you're not madly in love with God and madly in love to see his people come to know him, I don't know how you would preach well without that. Without that urgency, without that conviction, without that passion, without that determination for them to see him as you do. That's what gets, does that not what makes you? I want them to see. I want them to understand that those encounters are not just for me. That he loves them the same. And that he has encounters waiting. I'm convinced. We said that last time. We talked about that. That we must be convinced that what we have to say is what they need. Okay? And what we need is to see them become fully mature in Christ. How do we do that? We talked about transformation last week. Hook, book, look, and took. How to compile it. I want to make sure we don't put the cart before the horse. I want to talk about one more thing, and then you get an assignment. Developing the right teaching aim. An aim is the bullseye. The aim is the goal. The number one goal of Bible teaching is what again? Transformation. But the problem with this is transformation is a huge goal. It's a pretty stinking big goal. So we need to make sure that we pick the right teaching aim to hit the bullseye. So what, number one, what kind of teaching aim best accomplishes the big aim of transformation? This is a question that you need to ask yourself. In fact, Now that you've gotten some hook, book, look, took down, I think part of what the problem is, and I might want to change it for next time, Justin, is maybe you didn't understand what your aim was. In fact, I want to say this. This right here, it's the first thing I do. If I don't know my audience, I don't really know what they need to know or what God wants to say to them. And every audience, you've got different styles that work with different audiences, different age groups. So that's a huge thing right there. But that audience helps me determine really well the aim. Because once I know my audience and I begin to pray over this, that helps me then pick the right teaching aim. And I'm going to go over those right now. You ready? Okay, here we go. Well, I skipped one. Number two, how can we then, the next question is, how can we direct each lesson, each group night, each grow track night, whatever, to lead our students closer to having Christ-like character, convictions, and conduct? Come on, please tell me. I want you guys to be answering these things as you're working on your messages next time, okay? Now, let's look at these different teaching aims. All of these, now listen, this is important. All three of these aims should be present within every sermon or every teaching, but the percentage of each will change depending on what the goal is, okay? And your audience. Are you following me? Are you guys good? Okay. Is the pizza making you sleepy? Okay. The first kind of aim, there are three. The first one is knowledge content aim. Knowledge and content. This is the aim and goal where the teacher's purpose is to communicate simply biblical information. Communicating the what? This is what God's word says. I want to communicate what will help my students realize that God answers prayer. I want to build in my students the conviction that the Bible can have a great effect on their lives. I want to help my students know what the Bible says about healing. Information. This is what God's word says to those who have experienced infertility. This is, I want to teach you what God's word says about healing in general. This is content aim. I want that group, and I'll tell you a big group on that. Right now, I would have to say would be Grow Track 1. I want Grow Track 1 to understand the information of what God's word is saying in the Bible for their lives. We can't get them to respond to Jack. Sorry, can I say that? I probably shouldn't say that. Jack Diddley Squat. If they don't understand the information, do you have any idea, not all, but how many people in Starting Point that go right into Grow One who are new to Christ and new or new to church truly have never seen in Scripture things they've always heard that they said they believed? And so the goal of Grow Track 1 is we really want to make sure they understand what God's word is saying. I want you to understand the knowledge and have content information about what God's word says about sex before marriage. What God's word says about all of these things you've always heard. I want them to see it for themselves. Absolutely. So there's an order to it. I'll say this, a lot of leadership teachings with our staff and with our coaches, a lot of those are also content, a lot of information that we're hoping will inspire them to lift. But let's look at the next one. The next teaching aim would be, the next teaching aim is inspiration aim, an inspiration aim. I think of Whitney Lindsay when last semester she got up an encounter and she shared her testimony. That moment, at least that part of her teaching, and it was teaching, she taught and she led into that, but her moment was to motivate and inspire. Inspire them to have hope. To inspire them. That was the main goal of Whitney Lindsay, and she killed it. But that was her goal. Her goal was not to give them all of the biblical information about why that's possible. Hers was look and see what Jesus has done in me. That's right. It was very practical. It was real. It was emotional. It was inspiring. Boy, inspirational aims are powerful. Powerful. This type of aim is one that strives to inspire, to touch the emotions, to see the student inspired by something taught. Here are some examples. The teacher may say, I want to develop in my students an appreciation of God's word. So for instance, in Grow Track 2, I called Pastor real quick before Grow Track 2 to get this story. And then of course I forgot to share it, but do as I say, not as I do. But my purpose was this, and I do want to put it in there. I want Grow Track 2 to appreciate now the word of God. I want them to appreciate it. And I had this story lined up of this man who was a missionary over in, I think it was Moldova, I think. Something like that. And the Bible was rare and scarce there. And so he grew up, and he has memories of their underground kind of church taking God's word and having to rip it up into sections, one Bible amongst all, like I think it was 60 some of them, and they would pass around the pages secretly, and they cherished God's word versus Americans who use it as a coaster on their coffee table and never even read it, let alone understand it or apply it to their lives. Not all, but some. We know what I'm talking about here. So to develop an I want them to appreciate that about God. You better get you something inspiration. That's your goal is inspiration. Inspiration is, what's a great technique for inspiring?
Personal
stories, testimonies. And hey, if you don't have one that matches that, find one that does. Find someone who does.
It's like that point you make, though, too, when you emphasize treasure.
Yes.
Treasure within the word of
That's
God.
Exactly right.
Like a treasure chest, and once you unlock it and open it up, all every word is precious. Everything that is in there, there's so much.
That's right.
That has to be discovered.
And that was our goal for that week.
Yeah.
The goal for week two of Grow Track 2 was I want them to leave appreciating and seeing the Bible as his treasure. And so I had to lead them on a treasure hunt throughout that class, and they had to open up the chest and see the treasure, and they did, and the room came alive. Okay? Number three, the response aim. The response aim. To teach in a way that moves students now to action. Say action. What is action? Doing it. Doing the thing. It means to teach for growth, we must teach for a response. Now, when the teacher builds his lesson or her lesson, he or she must think in terms of the learner's response he or she hopes to achieve. Our aim as teachers of God's word will be to produce response in the lives of our students. Here are some examples of that. The appreciation of the Bible now causes the students to begin reading and studying it on their own. That was the response, is we gave them a Bible reading plan that day. And we introduced Devo packets. And they got all excited about these little Devo packets that they're going to start using as they apply soap. The awareness of God's heart towards sin now that causes, so an inspiration, you wanted to make them aware of God's heart and what his word says about sin and his heart towards sin. But now with response, we want that awareness of God's heart towards sin to cause the student to want to get rid of the things in their lives that are truly sinful. Okay? Awareness of the lost, that they had an inspiration aim, but the awareness of the lost now moves them to reach out to the lost. You following me? Understanding generosity moves them to give. Most Bible teachers hope for spiritual growth, but they teach only information. They teach only information. If growth toward full Christ-like maturity is our first purpose, teaching with only content aims will not achieve the goal alone. To teach for growth, we must teach for a response. Thoughts? Yes. Response equals attempt at change. Response means they're entering the metamorphosis process. They're entering it. If you just inspire them alone, now don't get me wrong, inspiration can move their heart to want to start responding, but let's not make it hard for them. Let's show them how you can now live this out. Let's show them that. Let's have them do that. Were one of you going to say something over here? I thought I saw a hand.
It's just a shame of how often
content there too.
Boy, that's scary stuff.
And get people
that just track. That's why how many of you guys, well, I don't know how many in here. Well, a lot of you guys I've poured into one-on-one and when you would bring me a resource or ask me what do I usually, I'm like, who is it? Who's the author? What'd you Google? Why'd you read that? Okay. From now on, don't Google anything unless you send it to me first, because if it's not rooted in scripture, and a newer believer or someone newer to teaching and preaching may not have had Bible college or studied the word for 20 some years, and they might miss it because it's so inspirational. Surely that's what God's word must say too. And some of those things are great at interspersing scripture incorrectly. So then you're really messed up. Yes, oh, for the love. So we just want to make sure. So you see, all three aims are important to have included. We want to make sure we get the right percentage right, depending on our audience and what the goal is, okay, what God's wanting to do and say. Key thought here today, you as the teacher or group leader must understand your goal clearly enough to state it if you hope to build and or teach a lesson that will achieve it. I'm going to say that again. You as the teacher must understand your goal clearly enough to state it if you hope to build a lesson that will achieve it. So, let's work on this. I think we have 5 minutes before I want to give you some homework. Let's work on this. Let's see. I want to go ahead and give, let's come up with an audience. Let's make up a pretend audience. Who are they? Give me an audience.
College kids.
Oh, you went there. Okay. Oh, here we go. This is going to help Scott a lot. Okay, so here we go. We're going to do college students. Huh? No, I'm kidding. Audience, college, woo, you stirred up a hornet's nest in here, Gina. College students. It's because you're in a room full of people who want to teach and preach, and we got to speak. No, that's good. Let's stop on that. Now, let's talk about them. Mine was encounter. Let's talk about these college students. What are they going through? Let's describe them.
Skeptical.
Excellent. Let's just talk. Just talk to me. All right. So there's our audience defined. What if you were called by Scott Green and Karen to speak at our young adults group? What is something, a topic or a scripture that we could teach on that would keep all of these things in mind and be really relevant and helpful for them? Give me some ideas. Brainstorm. There's no right or wrong answer here. Gender issues. See what I'm doing? My hook, book, look, took. So possible, I'm going to be looking for scriptures on topics like, say it again, gender. What else? Okay, yeah, I agree. It's a good one. All right, let's stop there. Unless anyone else? Anyone else have one?
Freedom.
Freedom. Hmm. Okay. Now, through prayer, let's say that we fast and pray like we're supposed to. And the Lord shows us that he really wants us to focus on not gender. That in my prayer time, it's kind of like, remember the old days, the Rolodexes? When I'm praying over something, I go through like this Rolodex of topics and people and things in my mind, and I don't mean to, but that's how it works in me. And all of a sudden, certain ones will stand out to me, and the Rolodex stops. And a lot of times, it's something God's want me to look in a little deeper. So if I were praying and fasting, I'm praying over these topics. I'm praying over what does God want them to know? What does God want them to do? And the Lord keeps stopping my Rolodex on purity, not these. Liz, they're all important. They all sound great. But God didn't tell me to disciple them all that night. He told me to bring the word of what he's saying to them that night. And that has been, we're just pretending, but it's purity. So, who knows a good scripture on purity? Ah, that's a good one. So our topic is going to be purity. Did I spell that right? Yep. So, give it to me. You notice I'm not doing hook yet? Some of you are trying to do this in order, and that's wrong. You don't have to do it in order. Galatians 5 what?
5 and 7.
Okay.
But to go back to what kind of...
Right. Okay. So now look. Now hold on. We know it's purity now. Where do you guys want to go? Do you want to talk about hook next? How you going to hook them? Or you want to go talk about what we want them to be asking themselves and what questions? What's standing out to you guys the most right now? There's not a right or wrong format here. Okay.
And the reason why is because once I realize, all right, this is what we're talking about, and then I pray about, all right, God, what do you want to see? Because it's about what God wants them to see, not me.
Right.
What do you want to see? What do you want to do?
Right.
And once I get what he wants them to see, what he wants them to do, then I can begin to seek out an area in my life where I saw this.
A story, a clip, yes. Correct. Which is why those questions are there. Audience, and then what does God want them to know? What does he want them to do? So what does God want them to know? We gave them the scripture of where we're going to be, but what's the look? What is this about for them? What is it?
What's the results of living in the spirit or living in the flesh?
Okay, but let's talk about, hold on. Let's remember, though, these guys are not churched. So how do we, what are some things that we want them to know about purity, guys? Think of their context. Think of their past. Think of how they've been raised. What do you need to, what are some things you need to bring out here about purity?
I think you might need to touch on maybe some of the sexual diseases.
Okay. So that's one of the points we could use is the natural consequences of sexual sin.
Choices.
There we go. That's fantastic. See, you guys worked that out there. So the first one, with choices versus and consequences. What do you mean by that? So how it affects your spirit? Affects.
I think doing all of that by asking them questions is super important because of your audience.
Okay. Okay, so that would be a method that we could use here, would be using some questions, right, with these. I know when I taught at one of the Encounter Purity sessions, I started with wanting them to understand what purity was, what the biblical, what God's word said about purity, and why it was important. I don't have my notes in front of me on it, but that... Correct. That's what God's word says.
But most people don't even recognize sin as a thing.
Right. But let's say that he's already done the work and now they recognize that. And he's now bringing you in to bring in. He's laid the foundation well. Now he's wanting to build on top of it. And these were the topics he gave us. And these are the ones that God landed on. I want you guys to think through what other things does a someone back here, you guys haven't said as much. What are some things that God needs them to know as college students about purity in their everyday lives now? Some practical. What would some practical things be? You're a college student. What would you say? Okay. Okay. So now we're getting something from the college student, helping them understand it's hard. But here's what we're getting to. We're getting to how-tos here. We're going to need to break this thing down, aren't we? That's right. So here's what you start doing. You've laid here what you guys just did out of order, which is fine. This is brainstorming. This wasn't one that was already finished. This is the way it should feel. It's messy. I'm all over the place on this, aren't I? And you A-type personalities, you got to get past the fact that you're not doing everything in this perfect order and the fact that once you've written it down, I can't change it because I already got the page right. You've got to keep that in mind because what you guys just did was you understood your audience, you understood the fact that they're probably not as churched or knowledgeable of facts and truth versus feelings. So a lot of you started talking about some scripture. I don't know if you understood, some of you were throwing out some good scriptures there. Then there was the natural consequences, some unspiritual facts that college students need to hear. But what I loved was then we got into the spiritual effects of it, from facts to spiritual effects. But then it got started getting down into it, and I had to stop it because we're almost out of time, is the how-tos. The how-tos. The final thing you would need to do after your how-tos, I heard setting boundaries. I heard some other things that you guys said. After the how-tos, though, you've got to give them a way to live this out, give them some response. Absolutely. Here you go. The benefits. Heck yeah. Now, what's a good took? What's a good application? What's a good homework for them? Think purity. Think impure.
What are some safeguards? What are some guardrails?
There we go. That's great. That's great. Long-term effects up here. No, excuse my doodling here. You know what you guys did there? You gave some practical, what are some guardrails? What do you need to get rid of your phone? What are some things you need to pray through from your past? You've got all this stuff. And then, Scott, you got us into this whole spouse thing of maybe giving them an exercise to write down. Say that again.
To write down what they're looking for.
Write down what they're looking for in a spouse. And how does that correlate and match their current lifestyle? Wow. Good job.
And is there hope and restoration?
Now you jump back up to look, and that's good. I would say so you said how-tos, benefits. You guys said I would say go before the how-tos. I would like to do the how-tos at the end before I get to my last part. Because really, after choices versus consequences, effects of it spiritually, benefits I would put as number three. And then long-term effects, number four. Then I would get into a new section on how-tos. Then I would finish with an assignment and a challenge. Pastor Stephen, are you raising your hand? Are you playing with your thumb? He's playing with his thumb. Okay. Okay. We have 3 minutes, and I do have to give you your assignment. So I know we could talk. See, this is great. Do you see what? I hope this is helping. It's supposed to feel a little messy.
You know what actually happened to you more?
You've been set free. Good. You know what? That's what this is for. That's what this is for. So here's what we want to do. Your homework assignment, you need to leave from last week so I can look over it with Justin and get that back to you guys next time. But here's your assignment. Using the two main questions to ask before writing a message or lesson, what does God want them to know? What does God want them to do? And thinking through your audience, determine your teaching aim and explain why you think that particular aim is the correct one to use for that audience. Now let me ask you, what aim would be the largest percentage here? Content, inspiration, or response? In this one you just built.
Response,
why? We're talking about purity. What is purity? A behavior, in a lot of ways. Behaviors determine that, right? Does that make sense to you guys? Okay, good job. I agree. Now we still need the biblical content and information. And boy, find somebody. You're an idiot if you don't find a good inspirational story on that topic of someone who had done it wrong and God's restored them and can be transparent on that. There's not going to be hardly a dry eye in the room if you get a good inspirational one on that. And now, would you want to get someone, no offense to Dan or even, I fit in this category, and Pastor Steve and I, we're getting older now, we're not as young. But it might be wise to have someone a little closer to their age, maybe in no later than the 30s, mid-30s, because if you get someone too much older, that generation's not going to necessarily listen, unfortunately. And my generation still listens to the older and wiser, but that generation doesn't as much. So keep that in mind, too. Okay, geez Louise. So good job on that. This is your homework, but you can't pick this one. But you need to do Hook, Book, Look, and Took, but I want you to define your audience. Answer, what does God want them to know? What does he want them to do? But then go through this process that you did again, but pick and put in order your teaching aim. What's your main teaching aim? And out of a percentage of 100, what percentage of time would you spend on each one? What teaching aim or aims do you need to use? All of them you're using, but what percentage to motivate them to respond and apply what you're going to teach and why? What does God want them to know? What does God want them to do? Are you good? Yes.
You sure can.
That's a good question. So, I would love for you to exercise your muscles and come up with a new one. I know. But listen, some of you guys are further than others in here. If that's too hard, use the one you already did. Focus on the teaching aim and define your audience, and you're probably going to need to switch up a few things after you do that. All right? Okay. I'm here at the end if you need to ask any questions. You guys, thank you for coming. I hope this is helpful. I hope this is sharpening you and your gift of teaching. And I hope you have a wonderful week. Please be careful out there. It's yucky.